beginning. This is the beginning of an end. What's past is prologue, and we start out in medias res, adopting an Homeric stance to trace a series of coincidences. Coincidences are two or more definite distinct occurrences taking place at the same time, or taking time at the same place. We have been told repeatedly that nothing's meant by these concatenations of event. They are chance intersections. Yet, we delight in these congruities because many of us, including me, suspect that the universe spins on a unifying axis of conspiracy, and that our own haphazard humdrum lives have a pattern far too complex for us in medias res to see close up. Be that as it may, tails or head, the snake has got her tail into her mouth, and off we go, merrily bowling along.
Please leave a message after the beep.
Hey, Mary, it's Leroy. How you doing? Say, I've been meaning to ask you, how about we write something together, you and me? An opera, maybe, something like that. So, okay, Mary. Oh, you write the libretto, I write the score. Okay, let me know. Bye.
Tuesday, 8:04.
Leroy, it's Mary here. You know, I think I might have an idea. Remember when we first met? You probably don't recall. And I said,
Jenkins.
That's a Welsh name. We might be related. My mother's name was
pretext for an expensive enterprise like an opera. Perhaps too much has been said about a name being nothing but a name, But is it really true that Capulet, Montague, Fitzwilliam, O'Donoghue, Ulysses Grant, Robert E. Lee, Abraham, or any rose by any other unroseate name would be the smelly same, the same, the same? Is that really true? Will we ever know? There are some facts, though they're rather sparse. Leroy got his Jenkins name from his great-great-grandmother. She was the property of a Wilton, F.L. Jenkins, who lived in Prospect, Tennessee. Who he was and where he came from, we have to guess. We have to speculate. In the absence of so many facts, we don't tell lies. We improvise.
My father came from Wales, but where in Wales he never said. And when I thought to ask him, he was dead.
He never said
he was dead.
That might have been the way it was. It might have been.
Perhaps I were born in Philadelphia. I saved up my money, and then, let's say I go out west to Ohio.
No.
Well then to Virginia, buy me some land, buy me some mules, buy me some black men. Tobacco until the land went sour. And then, lucky for me, in 1793, the cotton gin was invented by Eli Whitney. And so, maybe, I came to Prospect, Tennessee, to plant some cotton.
Stance in the middle of things, take a position in a nick of time and space, and find a topographic elevation to survey the situation, a point of view, a prospect from which we can indulge in speculation. There are 37 towns named Prospect in the USA. Is that too many or too few? 6 of these prospects are in the state of Tennessee, where at different times and places, 6 original prospectors, ravished by the scenery, or maybe what it represented, imminent prosperity, turned to the wife and kids and said, quite unoriginally,
I elevate this view into a prospect.
Too many different points of view.
So we will limit our elastic focus to one particular and personal locus.
Seen from Poplar Hill.
Well, popular held by folks around here who are inclined to like their point of view. This incline made popular by the populace gives a pretty good idea of Wilton's political agronomy. The year, a branching point in Leroy's family history, 1839. What can we see?
A large part of the scenery belongs to Wilton Jenkins. He owns a lot of property around here. There's his house and land, and see those little figures picking cotton. He owns them too, and yet before the year is through, Wilton will be out of the picture. In the dark, lost to view.
Out of the picture, lost to view, but not forgotten. We interrupt this story to put it in perspective, frame it in the larger canvas of historical coincidence. Driven like leaves before the bitter winter wind, before the ungrateful and intransigent Andrew Jackson, the president of the USA, the Cherokee, driven off their rich ancestral lands, file through Prospect in this bitter January, on their way to what white men call bitter irony, Indian territory.
Out at the bottom of Butler Hill, the Cherokee divided and cheated and exiled. Weep as they walk through Tennessee.
There are no aerial shots, no close-ups, no photographs, because there are no photographs. But coincidentally, there are developments 4,000 miles away in France.
The time is ripe in France, where Louis-Jacques Montdidier invents a new photography.
Across the marsh, a moment and you sing
Fox, Talbot, as much the same, O.C.
Watch the birdie, old chap. He's got a feather in his cap.
Say cheese, mon vieux, fromage, snap, snap.
A photo finish. Down at the bottom of Poplar Hill, Wilton Jenkins is feeling quite ill. But out in the waters of the Caribbean, see, there sails a ship loaded to the gunwales with human misery. The name of the ship, talk about irony, it's really kind of sad. The name of the ship is Friendship. The name of the ship is the Amistad.
East of Havana, a schooner sails the Spanish Main, bound for the bittersweet plantations of sugarcane.
But something is not ship-shape, all of this ship-to-ship. $20,000 cargo plots, a change of course, change of course. That's nice.
Saying they put a nail to the Yale,
gives a lock to the lock for cargo ships.
Enough. He's had it up to here. His subjects are strung out. His son OD'd on English opium. He tries to stop the English opium trade, declares a war on drugs. The English declare an opium war.
And in the province of Guangdong, in the city of Guangzhou,
Excellency, for your excellent love song, Su Chong, one lump of opium or two,
it's all.
hills and find 5,000 men and women marching into Newport from the fields and mines in the pouring rain. They want to vote. The soldiers of the gallant 29th are scared to death and open fire. A score of men drop dead. So this precipitous revolution, though not in vain, will have to wait another day. The blood is washed out by the rain.
In Wales, it's raining, pissing down. 5,000 Welshmen poured into town. They're nothing but looking, they're not on a spree. They're coming for a little gold, democracy. In Wales, the weather is atrocious. It's raining, pissing down. It's raining, pissing down. And on the south is dead, ferocious.
Not feeling so hot, but he's all right in his head, and being of sound and disposing mind, Wilton is deciding who will get what when he is dead. His nephew Silas gets the lion's share, most of the land, four mules, one black horse, and 9 black slaves. One of them, Ritter, aged about 37, has 5 children. Their names are Alec, Lucy, Washington, and I couldn't make this up, Leroy and Mary.
Wilton Jenkins is giving his things away. Land, house, and animals. Everything he's got.
This is his will, but it's more accurate to say
that Wilton is being taken away from things.
Willingly.
Whether he wills.
Whether he claims to do or not.
And now we come to a thickening.
Focus, 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 focus,
those murky Celtic mists, I conjure an archaic figure, a bard. He will deliver a brief review of Welsh political history in proper Celtic metric rigor.
I am a bard. It's hard to be a bard here, mate. Nothing to celebrate. In fact, my bardic specialty is dirge.
We lost the war. What else can they take us for? At least we've got our names. While we've got those, we know exactly who we are.
Hey, you, what's your name?
Caught speaking Welsh in school gets what for?
Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Catch a nigger by his toe. When he hollers, let him go. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
Miss, Leroy said, Ir heniait bahai.
Again, Leroy. When will you learn that? To speak Welsh. Take that, and that, and that. You nasty, disobedient child.
Catch a Welsh child by its tongue. Scrub a dub his mouth with dung. Eeny, meeny, miny, mung.
Pick a stick, what,
mug.
Names will kill me. For 100 years go by, and then we don't know who we are or where we came from. Everything's a blur. We are lost in the bigger picture. And to seal our fate, this 5,000-pound gorilla who lives next door makes his conquest legal. He takes us as his mate. He's decided to marry us. And does things, you know.
That gorilla
is really kind of sexy.
Perhaps we can tag along.
We will fight wars. We will learn to speak
gorilla English.
We will aim.
Gorilla. We will fight to become gorillas.
We used to be
gorilla
fighters.
Gorilla. Feels familiar.
The gorilla calls us the Welsh, Old English for those decadent foreigners to the west. We call ourselves Cymru. That means compatriots in beautiful Gorill English. The Irish, safe for a while on the far side of the Celtic Sea, call us the Irish who couldn't swim.
So that's how we got where we are.
In the Llancarvan Parish Register.
Baby William Jenkins,
second son of Farmer William and his wife
Anne, is brought to church and made a Christian.
20 years go by, and then
William's baby William,
his eldest son by Jane, his wife,
is brought to church and given a lottery option on eternal life. Generation after generation after generation, generation after generation.
taste of anonymous oblivion. Another 20 years, and then, in 1841, a dissonant, a rupture in this rustic monotone.
This latest baby William runs away from home. He doesn't run alone. The parlor maid, Cecilia Jones, runs with him.
How did they run in 1841? Who knows? We can always suppose. Perhaps they ran as fast as they could, took the shortcut through the woods, stopped for a breathless kiss. That might have been the way it was, it's hard to say. Then they ran on down the narrow, twisting lane. Out of breath, they stopped to kiss again, and then, no breath left to talk, they settled down to a brisk walk.
Down.
Down.
join the hot and heavy for a chase, pursuing happiness. Love, wisdom, money, admiration.